here this morning. Thank you, Jesse, for taking care of that part of the service for us and for the prayer. I'd like to acknowledge, before I forget, Walter and Sheila. I'm excited for you guys. May God bless you this week as you get all the last-minute prep done, and hopefully you can enjoy the process a little bit. But God bless you. I certainly have been blessed by the service thus far. Some of the songs that were sung and the message in them, Dylan's devotional, the Sunday school class, everything, I just had to sit back and say, wow, because everything is going right to where God was speaking to me to share on. And it's just sometimes it's flooring how nobody communicates to each other. I didn't call Dylan and tell him what I was going to be sharing. He didn't tell me what he's going to be sharing. But yet the Spirit works in all of us. And it's such a cool confirmation when that happens. Just to feel the peace knowing that God is leading the service. The topic I'm going to be speaking on is God's love. The title specifically is Rooted and Grounded in God's Love. When you dig into a subject like God's love, where do you start? Where do you stop? It's so big. A sermon does no justice to it. You barely scratch the surface. And it's always hard for me to try to do that, to tackle something like this and then narrow it down and condense it. And I feel like I'm going here and I'm going there and I'm going everywhere. And so hopefully we'll take a roundabout way to get to, at the end, hopefully, some ways that God's love manifests itself in and through us. You can turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. That's going to be the first part of our text. And that is where the phrase rooted and grounded in love, or rooted and established in love, that's where that phrase is found. So I'm going to start out with a question just to get you thinking. So if I was to ask you if you believe that God loves you, you don't have to respond, what would you say? I feel like probably all of us, most of us at least, would without hesitation say, yes, God loves us. We know that. We believe that. Okay, so now another question. What if I asked you if you're full of God's love? Would you still have the same assured answer without hesitancy? Yes, I'm full of God's love. Or it might take a little bit of hesitation, a little bit of thinking. Well, yeah, I think so. I feel like I am. I think it's really important for us to understand how much God loves us, to believe that in our hearts. That gives us a foundation to have the desire then to go out and love others more. And that's my prayer with this sermon. Hopefully it can encourage each of us to allow God's love to be our foundation and our source of strength so that we can, as a result, be full and overflowing with His love. My mind, this is where I say it's a roundabout path to get here. My mind has been thinking a lot lately about how we as Christians are compared to trees in different places in the Bible. In Psalms 1, the writer refers to the righteous as being like a tree planted by the waters. And I kept thinking about that picture and, okay, so what is the significance of a tree beside the water? So I dug into it, looking for feedback here. So if we are going to start listing the parts of a tree, and we are going to start from the ground and work our way up, what would some parts of a tree be? Starting from the ground and working our way up. Roots, okay? Trunk, branches, root was mentioned. Was there leaves? Thank you. Those are the four that I came up with. Everyone has a important role in being a part of the tree. But where does it all start? At the root. Everything starts at the root. You could say with a fruit tree, no root, no fruit. It's as simple as that. Without the roots, there's no foundation, there's no strength, but ultimately, there's no life. So there can be no fruit. There's nothing to produce the fruit. It's the same way with us in our Christian lives. If we are to be fruitful and alive spiritually, we must be rooted in God's love. Let's look at Ephesians 3. I'm going to read verse 14 through, I think I'll read through the end of the chapter then, through 21. I'll be reading out of the NIV. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and how long and deep and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So I don't know what comes to your mind when you think of rooted and grounded. I think there's different interpretations or different ways you can go with that simple phrase. And I'm not trying to take it out of context. I think probably a lot of people would interpret that in this passage to be as a firmly grounded or firmly established in our faith so that it doesn't waver when storms of life come our way, that we can stand strong. And I think that's a very important part of it. Another way you could look at it is to think of being rooted as to having a constant connection with God. A steady connection with our Heavenly Father, where through these roots we can have a steady influx of His love. And then it grows in us. And it flows through us into those around us. That's kind of where my mind was going. That's kind of what the angle is that we'll be looking at it today, is the feeding that the roots provide and that connection that is so vital for us. I think there is one foundational element of this that we have to establish in our minds before you go forward. I mentioned earlier that I think all of us would say that God loves us, that we believe that. But I do know some people struggle with the simple fact of believing that God loves them because they feel inadequate, they feel like they've failed too often. And so I want to affirm it, but I want to be also conscious of the fact that some people deal with that. But folks, we have to believe that God loves us. It is a fact. It's throughout the Bible. He loves us. He sent His Son to die for us. That is a foundational fact in our salvation. We must believe that. That is what we stand on. And if we can't figure that out for ourselves, it's going to be really difficult to have the love to pass on to others, if we can't claim it and apply it in our own lives personally. It has been said that no person can teach another person what they do not know, nor can they give someone what they do not possess. To show the love of Christ, we must first be filled with the love of Christ. I think that's important. We need to remember that. So I'd like to look at a couple things that we can look at. I'd say they're facts that we can go back to cement in our minds the fact that, yes, God does really love us. The first one is he loved us so much that he sent his son to die in our place to provide atonement for our sins. It's the basic provision of a Savior. It's the basis of our salvation. Number two, he loved us before we could even love him back. That proves to me that his love is not reliant on whether or not I choose to believe it. It's there. He loves me regardless. And Paul goes on to say how he would pray that we would have the power to grasp how wide and how long and high and deep is the love of Christ. How can you define something so vast? How can you put dimension on God's love? Matthew Henry words it this way: by the breadth of it, we may understand the extent of it to all ages, nations, and ranks of men. By the length of it, its continuance from everlasting to everlasting. By the depth of it, its stooping to the lowest condition, with a design to relieve and save those who have sunk into the depths of sin and misery. By its height, its entitling and raising us up to the heavenly happiness and glory. God's love reaches us wherever we're at. It doesn't matter how low, how high we are, how bad we are, how good we are. God's love can reach us. God's love has no boundaries. And so we need to keep that in mind when we are tempted to put limitations or qualifications on others receiving love from us. And there are so many things about God's love that we can't define, we can't understand. It's bigger than we have words to describe. Paul says in verse 19 that this is the love that surpasses knowledge. But we can attempt to learn all that we're able to. We can attempt to dig into it, to ask God to show us, to fill us. Because we're not commanded anywhere to fully understand it. We're simply shown that we need to believe that it is true, to simply have faith. This love is the very foundation for our salvation. Without God's love, there would be no Savior. There would be no plan of salvation for us. And as I said, God loves us regardless of whether or not we believe it. Here's the key. If we don't believe it, we don't gain anything from it. It does us no good. We have to believe it. We have to accept it. And if we can't do that, if we can't accept it, it makes it difficult for us to accept it as a gift. It makes us feel like we have to earn his love. So I hope this groundwork shows you how important it is to first believe in our minds that, yes, God loves us. So now that we've established God's love as the root, let's look at some results of when we are connected with him and receiving the constant inflowing of life that he gives us. I refer to us as being a tree, part of a tree. So what part are we? I think we would all say that we want to be the part that produces fruit. We want to be a fruitful Christian. So how do we do that? I think it's important to remember where our role is or where our place is in the picture of a tree. We have no ability on our own power to produce fruit. Jesus said, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. For us to be, to think we can be fruitful without the connection to our Father, it's kind of like walking up to a peach tree up around our place, cutting a limb off, placing it somewhere, and then sitting there watching and waiting for it to grow a peach so you can pick it and eat it. That's a silly picture, right? We all know that wouldn't work. How many times do we do that? How many times do we try to produce fruit without the key element of God's love? if we are to be fruitful, we have to be connected in Christ and in God's Word. This is how we are filled with God's love. This is how we are filled with the Holy Spirit. It's through our connection with God. And then we can be filled with His love so that we can pass it on to others. That is how we can bear fruit. And then when we keep all of this in mind, it makes it easier to understand why it is so vital to maintain that connection. When we're filled with love, it changes everything. The people who once seemed unlovable now are viewed as souls in need of a Savior. Our preferences take a back seat to what is possibly more beneficial to others. We pursue sharing this great love with those around us. Because we have been changed, we have something to share with others. We now not only know about God's love, we know God's love. We've experienced it. It has had a profound effect in our lives. And because of that, we want others to experience it too. So now, how do we manifest the love of God in our lives? How does it come out in real, tangible ways? I just came up with a few. This is in no particular order. You probably could come up with some different aspects too. Number one, love for lost souls. It seems fairly obvious, but that can really be a tough one. It can be a tough aspect of love to carry out. We can say we love the lost souls, but then what do we do beyond that? How much do we reach out to them? Number two, love for the church or each other. This is another tough one. We can say we love our brother and sister, but now, so that's easy to do when we agree. Now, what about when we have a different opinion on something? Do we still love them? Do we truly care enough to lay aside our opinion, our preference, and listen to theirs? Number three, love for God's Word. This is important. To have a thirst to dig in, to gain more wisdom, more direction from God, to learn more about Him and about His profound love for us. Number four, love for communion or relationship with God, an eagerness to listen to God speak into our lives through His Spirit, a pouring out of our hearts before Him, seeking to be more filled with His love. Number five, a love for God's work. This can be all kinds of different things. Just a few things I thought of. Helping the poor and needy around us. Eagerly doing what we can to help with church functions or duties. Willingly using the gifts that God has given us to bring Him glory. I think when we truly feel the love of God in us, it can actually give us an excitement to do these things. Rather than feeling it's a duty or out of obligation, it can give us a newfound excitement to go do these things that I listed. Turning your Bibles now to 1 John, I want to read the last half of the chapter, 1 John 4. There's so many verses in different places in the Bible. I was really going around and around about which ones to read. But I really like 1 John 4, verse 7, and then all the way through the end of the chapter. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. We know that we live in Him and He in us because He has given us His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, "I love God," yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. There's a lot of good admonition all throughout the Bible about God's love to us, and in turn, how we are to love others. And it's really been a challenge to me as I studied for this. I by no means have this down pat. It actually showed me how much room I need to improve. And I'm realizing more and more as I go through life that this is so important. It's not something that we need to take for granted. It's so easy to let ourselves believe that we're too busy, that we don't have time to maintain that constant connection, to spend the time to tap into God's love, into his word. But it needs to be a priority, because without it, we have very little to offer to anyone else. And I really think that if we're sincere in asking God to fill us with his love, he will grant us that request. It says, verse 19 in Ephesians 3 again, it says, "And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Filled up beyond what we can imagine. The last verses, it says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine." God has the power to do that. It's nothing for him, but he needs us to be willing to be those vessels. He needs us to be willing to carry that love that he's given to us. I want to challenge everyone this week. Join me. Ask God to fill you with his love. Let's see how we can let it flow out of us into the people around us. I think you might be surprised how much it changes our attitudes, our perspective on things. When you focus on loving others as God has loved you, it really just changes everything when you look at things through that lens, that perspective. So I would challenge you, let's do that this week. Let's ask God to fill us. Fill us to the top. Let it overflow. It doesn't make a mess. It'll fix itself. Brian, do you have a song?
Yeah, let's take that 1 John 4, 7 here.
Okay. Is it in the book or not necessarily?
No, I remember it online, but I was reading it.
Okay.
So
if you need the words, you said 1 John 4, 7, and 8? Okay. All right, why don't we stand? We'll pray, and you can sing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your love, God. Thank you so much for the reminder that you showed me of how vital your love is, of how much I need to grow in this area so that I can pass your love on to others. Father, help us to do that. God, help us to seek to be filled up so that we can pass it on. Help us not to neglect our roots, our foundation, God. Lord, I pray for each one that's here, that you would bless their lives. God, would you help us as we go from here? Would we bring you honor and glory? In Jesus' name, amen.